letting me come and speak. And it's great to see a lot of you guys. I've seen you from Hamlin. Most of you have not recognized me. I'm a little bit thinner. I was about 415 pounds 8 years ago when I left Hamlin. And, you know, because of some family issues in my family, I had the gastric sleeve done because in my family, cancer is very prevalent because we like to eat food. And so my doctor said that. My doctor looked at me and said, "You're healthy. You just like food." I said, "Yeah, I'm fat." He goes, "Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but you are." But no, God is good, and he was preparing us for me to get ready to go to Columbia. And this is my beautiful family. You see Heather up there. She's actually now on staff at a church in Port Jervis. We switched roles. So now I get to stay home and travel and do all this fun stuff while she is working at the office. Dakota and Malachi, you guys know very well if you were at Hamlin. Dakota is be 9 years old in June 3rd. We had him when we first moved to Hamlin. And then the surprise later was Malachi. Dakota is our visionary. He loves to help. He loves to draw. He loves to think and creative. Malachi is mini-me, but except for he loves animals more than I do. He is our animal expert. So when we told him we're going to Columbia, he got a book, Encyclopedia of Animals for the World. So everything he reads is about Columbia. When he comes to me, "Dad, you know there's snakes in Columbia?" "Yes, but we're not going to the jungle. We're staying away from the jungle." And then my beautiful little girl, Tara Beth, who is my warrior princess, more warrior than princess, she is actually on her way to Florida to go to Disney. My parents just texted me. My parents blessed us by taking each one of our children. When they turn 5 years old, they go down. So pray for my parents because they have three little girls, all 5 years old, going to Disney. So pray for my dad. I don't know if he's ready for this tea parties and all that fun stuff. But that's our amazing family. God called us, called my wife when she was 13 years old to mission. God called me when I was 15 years old to be a missionary. And we've been waiting for God to open up the door on where he wanted us to go. In 2012, my wife and I, being in New York, I was asked to be the AIM coordinator to lead mission trips for teenagers all across New York State. And God opened the door for us to go to Columbia. And while I was praying, I was in Africa the 6 months before that. I've been to Haiti. My wife has been all over Latin America. And we prayed, "God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to serve?" And I kept praying, "God, break my heart for what breaks yours." And that was my prayer the whole time I was in Colombia. And God said, "These are your people. This is your home. Love them." And so God called us to go to Colombia. And so in this calling, we thought we'd be in Bogota, which is the capital of Colombia. That's where we were at for 2 years worth of going to AIM trips. But we know that we want to go where God has asked us to go. We prayed about it. We listened to our leadership. And we're going to be in the northern part of Colombia, in Cartagena, Santa Marta, and Barranquilla, which is the Caribbean coast. Yes, we are suffering for Jesus. But we are up there because there is only one missionary couple in the northern part. There are 13 missionaries in Colombia. There are 11 missionaries in Armenia, and there are a few down. But there is only one missionary couple in the northern coast. And my wife and I are going to be partners with them. We're going to be a team. And they're working. They used to be missionaries in Venezuela, and you know what happened in Venezuela. So they transplanted out and went over there. And we're so close to the Venezuelan border, so that's why it's going to be great, is because of all the refugees leaving Venezuela coming into Colombia. We have a great mission field right now to reach out to. And so we're going to be up there doing church plants. And I really thought God was going to call me on from being a youth pastor. But God said, "No, you're going to love them even more." So now I just got to learn a new language. And so God has called us to be youth and children's leaders, helping with church plants, helping the local church there plant new churches, raising up disciples. And the other cool thing is we're going to be working with King's Castle. If you don't know what King's Castle is, it is an amazing evangelistic program that they go out, they go with the local church, and then go out into the poverty areas and just show the love of Christ through games and music and videos. My wife just came back from Nicaragua this past summer, and she came back and goes, "Isaiah, I want to go and do King's Castle." I said, "Well, King's Castle in Colombia is already nationally run." And so we prayed, and God answers our prayer. How many of you know that? When you pray and seek God and be in his will. My wife and I prayed, and we said, "We want to be used wherever you need us." And he said, "Awesome, we need you in the northern coast." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "It's 97 degrees all year round. The only thing we're worried about is the heat, so make sure you get a house with air conditioning." I said, "No, I can't wait. I live in northeast, and we get snow. I want warm weather." My wife, on the other hand, she loves the snow, so that's where we have to compromise a little bit. But God has called us to move up there. And we're going to be working there, and we're just going to be working. And God answered the prayer with King's Castle because the national director said, I am the weakest with raising leaders for King's Castle in that area. So guess what? God answered my wife's prayer. We're going there. My wife is so excited to be doing King's Castle's programs. My wife loves children. If you don't know that, she is nuts. But she loves that. And if you guys want to see what we're doing, you can go to MaddoxFamilyMissions.com. If you stop at the table, you guys can grab a prayer card. Please grab a prayer card, put it in your Bible, pray for us. Because when I say we're going to Colombia, what's the number one thing you think of when you hear Colombia? Oh, coffee? You're the first person to say that first. Everyone else is like, drugs! Drugs are the number one. Actually, coffee is the number one export in Colombia. And number two is, if any of you have green, shiny rocks, ladies, if you have any green, shiny rocks on you, emeralds are actually the number two exported in Colombia. They're actually the number one world's emerald. And when I was down there in 2012, we went to one of the shops, and we were like, oh, this is cool. I picked them up. I'm like, look at these rocks. These are so cool. And then I read the sign, and it translated into emeralds. I'm like, what? And the lady goes, $5 for a handful. I'm like, I won't go through customs. They're probably going to pull me off and be like, yeah, by the way, what are you bringing in? But no, please pray for us as we are going to be taking our family there. But we're trusting in God because God is amazing. Pray for us as we have to learn Spanish. I didn't pay attention in high school. I took 1 year. Stupid of me. But we know that God has called us there, so we're just going to trust him. So pray for the Maddox family. Every time you take a drink of coffee, remember us. And hopefully I'll be able to send coffee down to you guys because I know you have your breakfast down there. I'd love to send you some Colombian coffee. You know, it's really good. But God is good. So if you guys want to check us out, please just stop at the table, MaddoxFamilyMissions.com. There is a really cool video if you go on our website right now. My daughter did a video. If you want to have a good laugh, please watch it. It is hilarious. But as we get ready, if you guys would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be there. And so if you have your notes too, Pastor Aaron was so awesome that he made notes for me. And I thank you for that, Pastor Aaron. He was like, yeah, I got your stuff early, so I did it. I'm like, that's awesome. That is great. So we want to go there. And as we get ready, if you would just bow your heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you that we're in your house, Lord, with our family and friends. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that your words would speak boldly to our hearts, Father. Lord, that our hearts and our ears would be open to hear from you. And Lord, as you challenge us through your word today, Lord, that you would just open our ears to you and our hearts, Father. We thank you for this time. Bless this church, Father. Bless Pastor Aaron and his new baby girl, Lord, be with that family. But Lord, we pray for Crossroads, Lord, to be a beacon of hope and light for this area. And Lord, we thank you for this. In name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of this is called, If Not You, Then Who? And if you have children, the worst part is cleaning up after them, right? Because they don't do anything for themselves. My children like to open up the refrigerator and get a drink and then just leave the refrigerator door open. So they just like doing that. Or they just leave their things that, you know, I made fun of myself and I'll do it in this one. Husbands, if we don't put our clothing in the clothing bin, here's the bin, I throw it right here. My wife gets very upset. She goes, why do I got to keep doing this? I'm like, I'll do it. It's just, you know, you just throw it off. You know, I just come home from the gym and my wife's like, no, put it there. I'm like, okay. I found out the hard way. My son Malachi, he has the dog sleeping in his room. He got up one day, let the dog out, fell asleep back on the couch. The dog made a mess on the floor. And then he got up, stepped over it, walked to the door, let the dog out. I come down, getting ready to go to the gym, and step right in the mess. And I said, Malachi, did you see this? He goes, well, yeah, Dad, but it's your dog. Thanks, buddy. So we had to make new rules in our house. Anybody who lets the dog out first has to take care of the dog, feed and water it. But if not you, then who? How many of you have ever had that someone does something and they don't clean up after themselves? Or they don't do something they're supposed to do. All the parents are like, right here, you know. Even the parents that have their children here, they're like, yes, right here. They never did, and they still don't when they come over. But God is so good, and if not you, then who? When I was in college, I shared an apartment with 11 guys right there. It's dangerous by itself at Valley Forge. But one of the things was our guys never learned how to do dishes. So like 3 weeks worth of dishes was just sitting there. We had things growing. That's the first time we grew anything in our college career. Even now, I think that's the only thing I've ever grown is mold or whatever it was coming from the sink. But one of my good friends, his mom, came down and she did all the dishes for us. And my RA, who was in our room, he was like, why is she doing this? And I looked and I said, I don't know. He goes, this is your responsibility, guys. Whatever you eat, you should wash it, right? If you take it out, put it away. That's what we've always been taught. So when we're placed somewhere, it's our job to do something for it. We're supposed to do it. Like if you at your job, what is your job? It's your job title. You're supposed to do it, right? And if you don't do it, what happens? Your coworkers have to do it or they fire you. And then your coworkers won't like you because they're doing double the work. And so when you look at this, if not you, then who? And so this is my challenge for today as we go into Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And we're going to sit here and we're going to read this. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Verse 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field. So we're going to look at this scripture and we're going to see what it means. When you look at this, he said, the harvest is ready. Jesus looked over it and he had compassion on the people. Any of you creepers like I am, people watchers? Anybody? Anybody? People watchers? Yeah, Josh, I know. I trained you, dude. I mean, come on. We sat in my house over in Hamlin. Who's pulling in the driveway? Who's pulling in the parking lot? But I'm a people watcher. I'm not a creeper. But being a pastor, being a youth pastor and a missionary now, you get to wait and sit and watch. And when you're waiting for meetings, you get to watch people. And a couple years ago, God, I really changed my mindset and said, God, let me see through your eyes. Instead of just watching the people, I wanted to see through his eyes, the hurt, the pain, the confusion. And so now I've been starting to watch people and I look at them and I see on their face, not just the physical, but the spiritual, that they're lost, that they're hurting, they're going through something. And now I understand why Jesus looked at the people and had this compassion over them because they were lost. And so now I look at people and say, okay, what can I do? Maybe I can smile at them or maybe I can do something great for them. When I was at Starbucks up in Albany waiting for a meeting to happen, there was a young couple next to me with a little kid, and the little child kept dropping the toy, and I kept batting, and they're like, we're so sorry. I'm like, listen, I have three children. This is nothing new. They like to throw it. So the little kid saw me doing it, so he thought it was a game. You know how that goes? Little, hey, oh, hey. They're smiling. I'm like, ha, pick it up again. And so I'm sitting there, and I just got to talk with them, and you know, then I got to talk to the parents, and the parents just open up to me a little bit. They're saying, oh, you know, we're here. We just moved to town. I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, listen, I'm a missionary. I'm meeting with a local pastor, so if you want to look for a church that can help you, he's going to be coming in a little bit. I'd love to introduce you. And they said, we'd love that. We just moved from the south. So right there, just got to meet somebody and talk to him. Other times, you never know who you get to talk to, like the barista making your coffee, and I knew that she was just having a bad day. You know how they slam? They're slamming things down. That's an international sign that something is wrong. So husbands, if you hear your wife slam something, you did something wrong. Just apologize right away. But I did this, and just talking to her, I'm like, hey, you know, hopefully you're having a great day. She goes, no, I'm not. I'm messing up on drinks. I'm like, hey, listen, take a deep breath. She goes, I messed up on your drink. I said, nope, no, you didn't. Just give it to me. It's coffee. It really don't matter right now. I just need the coffee. She goes, yeah, but I made it wrong. I don't care. I just want coffee. I said, it's okay, and I drank it. I said, wow, this actually tastes really good. What is it? Well, here she mixed up on a drink and made my drink before the other person, and I was supposed to just get a black coffee, and she made this cinnamon dolce thing. Now I'm infatuated with it. I actually bought the syrup online. That's how good it is. But the harvest is ready. That's what Jesus was saying. The harvest is ready. Now, you know, being in this area for only 2.5 years in Hamlin, living next to the farm and living next to the buffalo over there in Hamlin, the farmers know when it's time to plant, when it's time to get the crops. Well, I learned with broccoli this past year what you're supposed to do with broccoli. I love broccoli. My family loves broccoli, but we grew it ourselves. You know how it comes to the store? It's perfectly green and round. That crowns look amazing. Yeah. Ours did that, and then I was like, oh, I'll wait just a little bit longer for it to grow. That's a bad idea. Don't ever wait for it to grow bigger, because once it starts outgrowing and being uniform and that nice little crown and it starts sprouting more, it changes the flavor and it's no longer that amazing broccoli. It's like bitter, or it's like what my little girl ate and goes, Dad, this isn't broccoli. I'm like, yeah, it is. I took a bite. Nope, you're right. I screwed up. But farmers knew when the harvest is ready. And Jesus said, the harvest is ready. If you watch the news, which I absolutely hate watching the news, because I just hate seeing all the horrible things. But the harvest is ready, people. if you look around, seeing the people, the things that we're going through, the people that are around you going through things, the harvest is ready. You know, just the other day, they had a student walkout, and sure enough, there was another school shooting. The school shooting that happened in Florida. Columbine. I was a teenager in Columbine. They just had the anniversary for it. That's why they did it on 420, because it was so long ago. That's why they did it, about walking out of gun violence. I've been a youth pastor for 12 years. The youth are lost. Media has been controlling them, telling them this is what you should do, this is how you should act, when actually it's not. They have their own agenda. They're screwing up. The harvest is so ready right now. There's people that I see all the time that are hurt. And in Port Jervis, I was sharing earlier in the first service, we have a huge opioid epidemic up by us. In the last year, I've had seniors and juniors, ever since I've been in Port Jervis, opioid overdose at 18, 19 years old. Why? The harvest is so ready. They need people to know that there is something greater out there. There's someone that loves them unconditionally, that would go and die on the cross for them. The good news. Jesus said, I preached. They went around announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. The harvest is ready. The people around you, look from now on, look and see how it is so ready for us right now. You can see in the world, right? I mean, everything going on. It's time to move forward. Your neighbors. How many of you have crazy neighbors and you hear them screaming, yelling, and doing hard things? The young man's like, yep, my neighbor right there. No, just kidding. But our neighbors, our towns, our work, our family, our friends, the harvest is ready. Ask God to let you see through his eyes now what's going on. So the harvest is ready, and you get ready for this. But here's the biggest thing. What always happens, anytime there's anything that needs happen in the church or at home, what happens? The workers are few. When I say to my kids, hey, we're going to go clean the yard. We got to clean up after the dog and the toys. Oh, I'm going to go do this now. Or, you know, Pastor Aaron, I know, being a pastor, he's like, hey, guys, we need some help. We're going to do this. Yeah, I have a thing. You know, my students, when in youth group, hey, we're going to set up for youth group. Oh, I got a phone call. No, you don't. Your phone's dead. What are you talking about? The workers are few. It happens. Parents, you know that. If you work at a job or if you own a business or anything, you know the workers are few. There are few workers. But here's the thing. What is happening here is the workers are not few. It's just they don't want to step up to the plate because they'd rather have a bigger platform. Think about that for a second. How many of you wish you had more? Like you pray. Listen, as a youth pastor, I always prayed, Lord, I want my own youth building. I want a big youth group. I want this and this. And God said, well, yeah, that'd be great, but I gave you something now. How are you handling it? As pastors, you know, getting together, talking with them, they always say, you know, here's the biggest thing I've heard as a pastor. Every time I get together with pastors, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves, every time we get together, the number one question out of their mouth, so how big's your youth group or how big's your church? So becoming a district leader, I stopped doing that. I walked up and said, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your walk with God? Have you read any good books lately? I don't care about the numbers. I want to see what you're doing. How are you doing? And so we change things up. But see, the workers are few because they want the bigger platform, right? How many of you know someone that always wants a bigger stage, always want a bigger platform? They want to be recognized even more. We all have that. It's in us. If you really be honest with yourself, it's in us. We want to be recognized more. We want more things, you know, as a pastor. Oh, I'd love, oh, look at this. You know, we love seeing our names. But the one thing that God has really shown me in my lifetime is I'm behind-the-scenes worker. I love being behind the scenes. At my church, I love making sure the computers are working. I love making sure the live stream is working. I love making sure we have cups at the water fountain. Even toilet paper in the bathroom. You know, I'm actually in the middle of worship, and someone goes, there's no toilet paper in the girls' room. I'm like, okay. So I stop worshiping and go and get it. My pastor's like, that was a great service. I'm like, yes, it was. I don't tell them what I had to do for it. I'm just happy it was a great service. The workers are few. You know, in church, we always want to do things, or in our family. Or here's the biggest thing. Somebody else will do it, right? You ever heard of that? I've prayed that. Lord, send somebody else. Right? How many of you prayed that? Let's be honest. You know, we're in church, so if you're lying, then you got to deal with him. But we've all said, Lord, send somebody else to do that. I remember when God called me to missions at 15 years old, I said, God, how about you send me to Philly or New York City or Los Angeles? How about, I love urban, so how about you send me into the city? I'd rather die by a bullet than a foreign disease. But God was calling me to the mission field. And in my eyes, I never wanted to go overseas because we always see the bad. But God finally opened the door for me to go on my first mission trip was my internship to Haiti, where now my parents adopted four boys who are now my brothers, and I love them. And I'm so excited that I got to go there because I would have never experienced God's love. I never would experience what I got to do with my hands by loving a child who's an orphan. His mom and dad passed away. Her mom and dad gave them up. Two of my brothers, the dad was just, he couldn't handle them, so he gave them up for adoption. And now they're in a loving home. They're loved all the time, even though sometimes they hate it. You know, us guys, we're big, you know, big guys. We don't like love. I looked at my one brother the other day. I'm like, dude, you're a softie. He's like, I know. I was like, God loves you, man. He's like, I know. God's done a lot in my life. But the workers are few. The workers are few. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Why is it that we're there? I can't come and do Pastor Aaron's job. I can't come and do your job. Some of you do amazing jobs. I don't even know what you do, but I want to be able to do it because I'm not trained in it. I'm not placed there. Do you know where God placed you? That's your mission field. The neighbor that you're next to who's rowdy and crazy, the family member that's crazy. How many of you have family members that are crazy? You know, everyone, let's be honest. If you didn't raise your hand, you're the crazy one then in the family. So that's why you're not raising your hand. But I can't come in and do Pastor Aaron's job. I can't come in and I can't go to be a welder. I'd probably electrocute myself or burn down the place. You definitely don't want me to be in the hospital doing surgery. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, don't ask me to do something that I'm not there for. God has placed me where I'm at to be where I'm at. And you can't come and do my job because that's not where God placed you. See, the workers are few is because we want somebody else's job instead of doing what we have here. We have so many things that are here for us. The workers are few. We need more workers. John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38, Jesus said this. Verse 36 is the most important. He said, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? Verse 37, you know the saying, one plants, another one harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work. Have you guys ever gone to the county fair and see how they make the massive pumpkins, or they have like the biggest ear of corn, or you know what I'm saying? Like they do all this. I would never be able to do that. I'd kill every plant that I've ever had. Like when I lived at Hamlin, I found out there was a flower garden, and I mowed it down every year, not knowing that it was flowers. I thought it was just weird weeds. Come to find out there were flowers. So the year I didn't mow, nice flowers. I'm like, oh. But see, here's the thing. We always want to be known for what we've done. We want to reap the harvest. But a lot of people want to plant and reap and be known for it. But Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I'm placing you here. You didn't do any work, but you're going to reap the harvest. There are people that have gone before us that have planted the seed, and it's our turn to reap the harvest. Pastor White, Pastor Ron, pastors before him, Pastor Aaron, he's going to plant the seed, and years later, somebody else is going to reap the harvest. Why? Because he did the work. That's why Jesus said, listen, I'm going to send you, and you didn't do anything, but you're going to get the reward of seeing people come to know Christ. How great is that? How awesome is that? Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you're going to go, and you're going to reap the benefits. You don't have to do anything. Just go. Right? That's what God is saying here. Just go. Go and do it. But the workers are few. Why? Because they want the reward. They want the bigger things in life. I know Pastor Aaron's brother-in-law, Tom, who is a missionary also, you guys started a new series last week called The Body, and it was really funny because I have this in my notes about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about the human body has many parts. The church is made up of many parts, right? Not all of us can be the eyes. How many of you would love to be the eyes? Or everyone wants to be this. No one wants to be the feet. Feet are ugly. Right? My daughter has the hardest feet. Why? Because she goes barefoot 24/7. We're going outside to play. I'm like, Terry Beth, make sure you have shoes on. Okay, Dad. And she's just out pedaling on her bike and riding a scooter with no shoes on. I'm like, what are you doing? No one wants to do the hard work. Everyone wants the glorious thing. I heard this A couple years ago, I went to a service in New Jersey, and Francis Chan was there, who is one of my favorite authors, and he was talking about the church. We think this is the church, right? But actually, we're the church. Everyone understand that? We're the church body. We make up the church. And he said this. He goes, and he brought out Legos and said, look how beautiful this is. My son, you know, my kids built this for me. Look how beautiful it is. But here's the thing. What if I took one brick away? What if I took this brick away? What if I took that brick away? It would be incomplete because we all have to work together. You can't have like 50 doorknobs because everyone wants to be the doorknob. Or everyone wants to be the beautiful pictures or want to be the beautiful windows. You can't have 50 of those, right? If you did, I'd hate to clean your house, right? Like, think about that. 50,000 windows, everyone wants to be. But what about the people who want to be the tile behind the toilet? What about being the toilet in the church? What about doing something and being that person? Think about that for a second. Without it, it would be an incomplete house, right? Incomplete because it needs that. But everyone wants the glory. The workers are few. In Port Jervis, one thing I've learned is our church loves to be a part of the community. And we do a National Night Out, which I don't know if many of you know what that is. National Night Out is put on by the police department and the fire department. And they bring they just bring recognition about the safety that needs to be going on, teaching kids if you see something, report it. And, you know, the little kids get their fingers printed and they're in a database. So if anything would ever happen, if they would get kidnapped or anything, which is scary to say that, but they do that. Because that happens. Kids get lost. And so they have these on file and they do all this. Well, our churches in the area, there's actually, in Port Jervis, there's 11 churches. And the chief police went and the mayor went to every church. Hey, you know, we need help. Can you guys do this? And every church he went to would say no. And he came to our church and was like, hey, listen, we got enough booths to do the candy and the blow-ups and all that. Would your church serve by cleaning up the trash? My pastor said, absolutely, we'll do it. Every other church said no, they'd rather have a booth and show off. So what did we do the whole time? Our church wearing blue shirts, the blue crew says, First AG Church on the back says, how can we help with garbage and the things? And all we did was walk around picking up trash for 4 hours. That's all we did. We didn't have our own booth with our name thrown out all there, giving away material. All we did was walk around and serve our community. The workers are few. There are jobs that there are just some people that don't want them. But then there's the people that would love to do that job. I love having that person that when you ask them to do something, they just jump on it. I remember my first job working at Giant Eagle as a bagger. I remember I wanted to help. I just wanted to do whatever I could. And I remember my boss came and said, hey, listen, we got to clean up on aisle 7. I was like, I'll do it. She goes, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I'll do it. A little kid threw up on aisle 7. But I did it. I volunteered for it because there was a cleanup. I wanted to help. I did it. I love being the bagger. And they said, oh, we need to help carry out the food. I'll do it. They're like, Isaiah, why do you always want to do it? Because I love hanging out with people. And I get to walk outside and not be stuck at the counter bagging 24/7. But the workers are few. You know why the workers are few? There's a lot of people with excuses. Where do I fit in the church? How can I really serve? What can I really do? Oh, I'm too young. Oh, I'm too old. There's excuses everywhere, right? We all have excuses. Why you couldn't come to church this morning? You wanted to sleep. You were tired. It's gorgeous outside. Finally, one Sunday, it's gorgeous. And you're like, why is he here talking? I want to be outside. But we can make excuses. I had a lady in my church that she made an excuse that she was too old. She goes, I can't help do this. I don't have the energy. And I looked and I said, you can serve in the church. She goes, how? I said, you can be a grandmother to the teenagers that have no grandparents. You can be a grandmother to a new family in the church that they just moved here. And that's what happened. We had a couple move and they have young children. This lady stepped up. And so when the baby was upset or crying in the middle service, she would get up, walk over, take the baby, and go take her out so the parents could experience it. So now the little girl calls her grandma, even though they're not related. They're related in the kingdom, but they're not related by blood. But yet, see, you can step up and do something. I have students that they wish they had grandparents, and I have older people in our church that have no children. They have no family around. I said, hey, go hang out with that person. Hey, can you go help them? Hey, I had one of my students. I'm like, hey, I was like, you know, Joseph, let's go over here. I need you to help. I need you to help with this family. He's like, absolutely. And now they're like a grandson to him. He's a grandson to them. Now they have their own grandson. They're all the time in church. Hey, grandson, how are you? Giving a hug. That's what happened to Heather and I here when we moved to Hamlin. We had people that stepped up to be our family because we were so far away. I got to call them mom and dad, and I got to call them aunt, and you know, I got to call them grandma and grandpa. Why? Because they stepped up. That's what the church is about. It's about filling the roles that are here, filling the roles that need to happen, not just here, but also out. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, this is so important. This is why I say this. There is no such thing as an excuse because it says this, verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, but how can they call on him to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Verse 15, and how will anyone go and tell without being sent? Favorite scripture here, even though I talked about feet are nasty, this is the beautiful sign. Out of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. No matter what you're asked to do, no matter what role you have, by bringing the gospel, you are beautiful. Because that person needs to hear it. Now, all of you right now, how many of you right here, raise your hand, someone told you about Jesus, Sunday school teacher, grandparent. What happened if they never told you? You wouldn't be here. What if that person never told that person? What if that person never heard about it? What if this never was passed down? We wouldn't be here today. Someone had to go and do it. Back in Jesus' time, it was very dangerous to go and share the message. We have missionaries, friends of ours that are going to sensitive countries. I know you have some that you support. They're taking the beautiful news of Jesus to a harsh area. Right outside these four walls, well, more than four walls, but outside these walls, there's a dangerous area that needs to know that Jesus loves them, right? I really believe this. All the things that are happening in the world, all the things that are happening with the school shootings and all this stuff, it's a heart issue. It's not a gun control issue. It's a heart issue. That young boy that was down in Florida that went and killed all the students, you know what happened? His girlfriend broke up with him and started dating another boy in the school, rubbed in his face. His parents told him that they didn't love him. The police were called over 28 times to his house for domestic violence. He just needed someone to say, Jesus loves you. How hard is that for us to say to somebody, Jesus loves you? It's not that hard, right? We tell our kids all the time, right, that Jesus loves you. How many times does God say, I love you in his word? Why is it so hard for us? Well, Pastor Isaiah, I'm not a people person. Okay, St. Francis of Assisi said this, share Jesus at all times, and if you have to, use words. Ooh, wait, hold on, let me repeat that. Some of you are just catching it. St. Francis of Assisi said this, share Jesus at all times, and if you have to, use words. And action speaks louder than words, right? We hear that growing up, right? Your actions speak louder than words. When I was studying for the sermon and reading about it, there was a man that killed himself back in the day. He committed suicide in San Francisco. He said, he left a note behind, if one person smiles at me, I won't kill myself. No one smiled at him. He jumped off the bridge. We can smile at people, right? When we leave church, are we happy? Or do we look like we've been sucking on lemons? There's another story by being in near New York City, hearing about Brooklyn Tabernacle. There was a lady that was walking to the Brooklyn Bridge to go commit suicide, and she walked past Brooklyn Tabernacle, which is not a church. It's not like a typical church like this. It was a warehouse. It was a building. And she said all these people were walking out smiling. And the lady stopped and said, do you know Jesus loves you? And that changed her mindset right there, that someone said, you are loved. That's the good news of the kingdom, that someone would pay the price for you, that you are loved. I tell my kids all the time, I love you. Like my little girl, she's getting ready to go. I've already texted her saying, hey, dad loves you. Have fun. She's like, okay, dad. I'm like, you don't care. You just want to go to Disney. But you know what? Sometimes my dad always says, Isaiah, I love you. And some days I need to hear that. How many of you have ever had bad days? Right? But Jesus still says, I love you, even in your badness. I love you when you're on the mountaintops. I love you in the valleys. I love you because I will sacrifice my life for you. So think about that for a second. The workers are few. What would happen if the person who led you to Christ or planted that seed never did that? What would happen? You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have the amazingness. Yes, listen, being a Christian is not easy. I can tell you that right now. It is not easy. But if you trust God, he is faithful. He's been faithful for my wife and I over the last couple years. Our budget for missions, we have to raise $64,000 in cash, and then we need a monthly support of this. I got a call. We started the Daniel Fast on January 8th. First day, I get a call from my headquarters. They're like, hey, you screwed up on your paperwork for missions. You're $200 short. I'm like, no, I'm not. I sent all the money. I know exactly how I did it. Here, I put $200 in cash because my accountant told me never put it in your account and send another check. I'll never do that again. But I put the money in, and I folded it away that no one would know that there was money in there unless you open the envelope. Someone stole $200 out of my fund. And I got so mad. I was in the middle of the fast. I'm like, God, really? This is how we're going to start the fast? But here's the thing. I sent my kids away, and I sent my kids to their rooms. I'm like, listen, Dad just needs some time. I'm going to put worship music on. I need to spend time with God. So I started praying, and I'm seeking God. I was getting so angry, and God, and something said to me, look at your funds. Look at your funds. I'm like, all right, whatever. Went and looked at my funds. Someone gave us $50,000. My cash budget was raised in 1 month because I went to two churches. The summons of God gave us a thing, and then this person blessed me. And I sat there, and I said, wow, I'm so sorry, God, that the little thing took me off the big picture of you calling me to go do what you've asked me to do. And everyone's like, oh, are you so excited to leave? Yes and no. I'm excited to go because I want to go, but then I have family that I need to see. I mean, my grandparents, my parents won't see my kids for 3 years. But technology is amazing, right? Photos, and but there's a difference when there's an embracing, right? You can do so much more than just over an email or a text message. Phone call is great. Or just showing up at somebody's house, right? Going, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they be saved if they're not told? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that takes me to my last point. We are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When I was studying this, this is what an ambassador is. An ambassador is someone who believes in where they're at and they want to show off where they're at. If you ever watch TV shows like NCIS, one of my favorite shows, love NCIS. But the ambassadors on there, sometimes the ambassadors feel that they're entitled and they're better than the people around them. And then there's episodes of the ambassador who wants people to know they're real. They love their country. They want them to see the good side, not the bad. So there's two differences. We're Christ ambassadors. How many of you used to, you're different from when you became a Christian? You used to be a horrible person. Maybe some of you just want to leave that past where it needs to be. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we used to be like the people that we're ministering to. We need to be like that person. We might have gone through a hard time. You know, I had one of my friends said this to me. He's a pastor. He goes, why doesn't God send me lawyers and doctors in my church? All I have is alcoholics and drug addicts. I said, because that's who you used to be, remember? So you can help them the way that God helped you through everything. And when I said that to him, it changed his whole perspective. Now his church is thriving because he's worried about the people that are in front of him. His harvest field. He was looking for an amazing harvest field. He was looking for a cornfield when he had soybeans. Different. But God blessed them through this. And so here's the thing. As a Christ follower, we are to serve as ambassadors, bringing his message, doing his work, representing his kingdom to those who do not have a personal relationship with God. And you're saying, well, how can I show that? Listen, remember I said what St. Francis of Assisi said? Share Jesus at all times. Did we have to use words? Well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, everything you do, do it under the glory of God. Eat, sleep, work out, glory of God. Because you never know who's watching you. February, you know, February 14th is Valentine's Day. You know how it's husbands and wives and couples get to go out. Well, our school district decided to cancel school that day. So I had to bring the three other ones along with us. So my wife and I went out to eat. We sat down at Applebee's and we're getting ready to go and our food came and I said, all right, let's pray. My little girl's like, I'll pray. And, you know, sometimes kids are amazing and you know how you always recite prayers at night? Well, my daughter started reciting our nightly prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Let me have good sleep. I'm like, we're eating food. She goes, oh, bless the food. And I always pray with my eyes open. I've always taught that. And my daughter's praying, thank you for the food. Blessed to our bodies. And I saw our server watching us. Because there's like only three people. So she's a people creeper too. So we're sitting there, and I'm just watching her like this, and my little girl goes, and bless the lady who brought us our food. Let her have a good day. And when you said amen and you looked up, the lady was full of tears. You never know who you're going to touch, but you have to do it for the glory of God at all times. It could be going and getting your, you always go and get coffee at Dunkin' Donuts or the local gas station. It's always the same person. Smile. Say, I hope you have a great day. Or say, I pray you have a great day. You never know how you're going to be able to do that. How many of you have ever been blessed by someone just off the cuff, just someone came to me and said, oh, wow, I hope that you're having a great day. You know, ladies love it when people point out their clothing. My wife one day was running around the house, and she had to hurry up and get dressed and run. And she was just threw something on, and the little girl goes, I really like your earrings. They didn't match, but the little girl said, and my wife's attitude changed because the little girl said, I really like your earrings. You can have a horrible day, but if someone compliments you, it changes your whole day, right? Scientific, back in school, back in sixth grade, I remember we did the plant. Anybody ever grow plants and one plays classical music, the other one plays hard rock music? You ever done that? Hard rock, vibrating the plant didn't grow as much as the nice soft music. Think about that. Instead of being dumped on all the time with junk, if we say something nice to somebody, it could change their perspective. Right? It's easy. But that's what we're supposed to do. And you're sitting in here making up excuses right now. Well, I'm his ambassador, but I've only been a Christian for like a week. So, God changed your life, right? Well, yeah, share that with people around you. You never know who needs to hear the enthusiasm of what God has done in your life. Some of you have been keeping your testimonies quiet for so long. Don't. Speak out what God has done in your life, even the little things. I remember a little girl, she goes, I stubbed my toe, but Jesus still loves me. Think about that. That's why I love little kids, because they're honest and true. You know, there's a video back on the day, I love you, mommy, only when you give me cookies. Anybody remember that video back in the day? This little boy goes, I don't love you, mommy, all the times, only when you give me cookies. And I remember saying that. I'm like, wow, we're like that with God. We only tell God that we love him when he does something great for us. But we need to be able to tell God all the time, thank you for this day. Even if it's a horrible day. You go outside, car won't start, got a flat tire, you spilled coffee on you, your kid threw up on you, you know, you stubbed your toe, or the person in front of you doesn't know how to use a turn signal correctly, and you're upset, or you missed the light. It happens. But we're supposed to show the love of God at all times. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, the Great Commission, we all know this, go into all the world. All the world. I had a former student of mine who's not walking with God right now, but she posted on Facebook and she tagged me in it. Hey, missionaries and pastors, stop going overseas to see people, that we have hopeless people here in the United States. And it was homeless people. I wrote her right back and said, you are absolutely right. There are hopeless people. I said, I really believe that God placed that in your heart to reach out to those people because it had yours. She hurried up, deleted the post, won't answer me back. I wrote her, not to offend her. I'm like, listen, I didn't mean to offend you, but I'm just telling you, I'm listening to what God has asked me to do. You think I really want to pick up my kids and move to one of the biggest drug capitals of the world? But I'm doing what God has asked me to do. Why? Because there are people down there that have already planted, and now it's time to harvest them. It's time to go down and say, you know what? Jesus loves you. And a little kid goes, you know what? I've heard that from my grandma. I want to give my heart to Christ. That is worth me doing everything that I've ever done for one person to come to know Jesus. It should be the same thing for you. It should always be that. Our end goal is not that. Jesus talked about it. He told his disciples, I'm sending you there. You're going to reap the harvest. You didn't do anything, but you're going to reap it. Right? He said that. So we have to be ambassadors. We don't know if we're planting or harvesting, but we got to be in tune with God at all times. My dad told me the story of him, and I love my father. He's a big guy. He's my not just my father, but he's my spiritual father. He helps me a lot. I call him when I'm upset. Sometimes I don't like to listen to what he says to me, but I have to because it's that. It's my dad. But my dad shared me a story of him being disobedient to God. My dad works in a tool and die shop, one of the biggest ones in the county where we live at. And there's a lady that used to work on the floor, and a piece of metal fell and crushed her arm. It's crippled. She can't do anything with it. And my dad walked through the doors one day, and he just got done reading the Bible before from his break. He walked out, and God spoke to him, said, Dave, I'm going to show my glory. Go over and tell that lady I love her and pray for her arm. I'm going to heal it right now. Watch me. And my dad argued with God. To the time that my dad finally said, okay, I'm going to do it, he looked up. The lady already left. And then the next week, he walked in, and there's a lady again. He goes, okay, God, let's do this. He goes, nope, not now. It's not time. My dad, every time from there on out, will always be obedient. There's times that my dad, in the middle of the night, God has woken him up. He'll call me 2 o'clock in the morning. Listen, I don't like receiving phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. As a pastor, it scares me to death when my phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning. My dad called me, I'm like, my dad. Even worse, when you see it's your family member. You ever, like, in a sleep, and all of a sudden you're like, whoop, fully awake. My dad called me one night, and he said, I just want to tell you, God gave me this word. He loves you, Isaiah. He is proud of you. Keep going. I'm like, Dad, you couldn't wait till 5 o'clock? Now I'm up for the rest of it. So I got up and went to the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning. I walk in, the guy's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, got a phone call. I'm just going to go work out. You never know. A friend of mine who's a missionary to Ecuador, her name's Leah Diaz. She's an amazing young lady. Her life story is amazing, and I'm just going to give you a brief snip of it. She doesn't know who her dad is. The dad who raised her was just a partier with her mom. Her mom was a dance club junkie. She was a drug addict. She went around to all these dance clubs and did all this stuff, and she never knew Jesus. The little girl, Leah, got saved at a young age. A guy came up to her house, knocked on the door, said, hey, we want to invite you to church. Jesus loves you, and gave her a piece of candy. And that changed her life at 8 years old. God gave her, filled her heart, did all this. God called her to be a missionary. She came to be a missionary. She's been trying to tell her mom for years, Mom, God loves you. God is all this. He's going to bless you. She goes, yeah, that's for you. It's not for me. Mom was diagnosed with cancer, still not a Christian. Mom, I'm praying for you. Leah had to go to language school in Costa Rica. So she goes to Costa Rica. She's there in April. Her mom's name is April. Her mom was born in April. And she gets a phone call from her mom, and she goes, guess what just happened to me? What? I gave my heart to Christ. Mom, that is so great. Yeah, at a gas station. And Leah goes, what do you mean? The lady in front of me paid for my gas and turned around and said, Jesus loves you, and I gave my heart to Christ like that. How many of you have been told by God to turn around and just say, Jesus loves you? Or a phone call? Or a hug? Or go do something? Your mission field is where you're at. We are called to be missional. Every one of us is missionaries, you know that? Because if we have Christ in our heart, it says, go into all the world, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing, teaching. I always screw this up. Thank you for putting that up. Winky Pratne, who is an evangelist, he said this, every Christian is a missionary. Every non-Christian is our mission field. My wife and I, being in Port Jervis, we've lived at 3 different houses. The first house, Josh knows, there was a drug house next to us. We moved into a drug dealer next to a drug dealer. She still showed the love of God. We moved to another house a year later. The lady that had the house, her husband died in 9/11. He was a firefighter. Got to show the love of Christ to his family by telling them that God loves you. The daughter didn't want to hear that, came back a couple weeks later and talked to us, and my wife and I got to talk to and share the love of Christ on her dad's front porch that he built. And then when we moved into our house that we're at, we've been there the longest, it's been 5 years. When we moved in, there was a family next door that had young children. We were so excited. We finally had kids that are around my kids' age. Not older ones that could corrupt them, but honest little kids. Come to find out, we're like, why aren't they outside playing? Like, it's snow out. My kids are like playing in the snow, you know, sledding on the street, you know, riding their bike. And come to find out, this little girl who's the same age as my son Malachi, she had cancer, leukemia, 3 years old. My wife and I are there. The mom was pregnant again. She had a baby. We became friends with them. So my wife and I, what do Christians always do? What does the church people do when there's a birth? Food. We make food. So we made food for them and walked them over. They go, we've never had this before. No one's ever made a meal before. Even her family never thought about making a meal for them. So we walked over with a full meal. You know, I'm talking everything. Salad, main, bread. You know, let's be honest, we're all churches. It's always, you know, either lasagna or, you know, something easy to make. But we even had dessert and all that stuff, even soda and stuff. Come to find out they're not allowed to drink soda, so we hurried up and ran over and got apple juice. But we gave it to them, and that started a friendship. And when we found out that she had cancer, she was going to get her treatment, and she was going to go get a checkup. And we asked, you know, God laid it on my heart, say, you want to pray for her? And I'm like, you know, they're Catholic. I don't know if they're going to really like this. And God goes, say you want to pray for her. I looked and said, hey, guys, I know you're going for the thing. Can we just pray with you? I said, yeah. So we prayed with her for the testing. A couple months later, came back, cancer-free. And I told her when I prayed for her, I said, God is going to do something amazing. You've been healthy. God's going to heal you. And I love this little girl so much that I would go and get a flu shot. And if you know me, I hate needles. So for me to get a flu shot when I don't really care for one, I did it for the last 5 years because of her immune system. And then the day that she had to go get her port out, she called it her button. She asked, she goes, Isaiah, will you come to the hospital and be there? I said, absolutely, I won't miss it. Got up, 5 o'clock in the morning, walked over. My wife and I prayed for her. I said, all right, I'll see you in an hour. She goes, okay. Hurried up, got the kids ready, got in the car, drove an hour and a half to the hospital, sat there, prayed with her before she went in. I said, all right, I'll be waiting for you when you get out. She goes, really? I said, yep. As soon as she got out, you know, being a pastor, we have this little special card called Pastor Card, and they can't say no to us. So the family can't go back, but I'm like, hey, I'm here to see Veda Glass. They're like, oh, yeah, come on in, Pastor. Walked right in. Family said, I'm like, what's up? Walked back there, and I said, Veda, I'm so proud of you. God's doing amazing things. She goes, yeah, he did. He healed me. By doing small little things, you never know what you're going to do. So my challenge is to you, if not you, then who? Your harvest field is where God has placed you. This is my friend's church. I had to back away and back up and take this picture because this is when you leave his church parking lot. This is what it says. You are entering your harvest field. Every time you leave church, you're entering your harvest field. I've been doing a study and just reading through the book of Mark, and it was really cool. Do you know that Jesus did a lot of miracles, right? Duh. But do you know that Jesus didn't do a lot of miracles in church? He did a lot of miracles outside of the church, in the streets. He did some in the synagogue, he did some, but he did it all outside of the church. So why do you think people need to come here when you're who's supposed to go there? You need to invite your friends and family to church, but you need to tell them about church and tell about what God's done in your life. All of you have a story. You need to share it. One of my favorite professors, and Aaron knows him too, by going to Valley Forge, Pastor Dick Gruber, always shared his testimony. What was it? Always said this, God saved me of a life of drugs and alcohol at the age of 7. You're like, what? He goes, because I never got a taste for it. God saved me at 7 years old. I never had to walk down that path. We all have a story. Think about that. So right now, I want to challenge you, if not you, then who? Where God has placed you in your community, in your family, in your job, in the place of your area here working in the church. If not you, then who? If God has asked you to step up and do something, you need to do it with all of your fibers in your body, and you do it unto God. Working with children, you're like, I hate children. You don't know if there's a little kid down there that just needs a hug. Or maybe going to visit a shut-in, because you never know that no one comes and visits them. Maybe it's just seeing your neighbor who's going through a hard time, just going to help mow the grass or bring him a meal. Or maybe it's that gas station attendant that always makes your coffee and she never looks happy. Maybe you should say, hey, it's good. Glad to see you today. I really like what you've done with your hair. Or some conversation. You never know. That coworker that just always calls off, always running late, instead of chastising them, why don't you see, hey, is everything all right? Do you need help with something? Can I help? Stepping up to the plate to minister the message of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How many of you want some beautiful feet? So right now, I want to pray over you. I want you to close your eyes. Right now, I'm praying that God would just give you a name or a face right now that you need to just go and love on them. Maybe just a smile, and it turns into an amazing relationship. Maybe there's someone who used to know Jesus back in the day. Someone talked to them about Jesus, and you just reminded them of it. You're reaping the harvest. Someone planted, and you get to reap it. But you're being obedient to God. Maybe God has placed you in an area in your family or your job that is just toxic. Start being that light in that dark area. But right now, God is giving you a name or a face that he wants you to just say, tell them I love them. Tell them that I love them no matter what they've done. That's what God's saying right now. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this amazing church, Lord. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray right now that you would just challenge their hearts, Lord, to go out and to be their own missionary in that field, Father, Lord, to be your ambassadors, to show your love, Father. Lord, I pray right now for the name and face that you are giving them. Lord, I pray that they would go boldly today. And Lord, the next time they get to see them or if they talk to them, Lord, that they would just say, you know what? God loves you. Lord, I pray right now that you would just give them the boldness to speak up. Because, Lord, it says you'll give us the words to speak. So, Father, be with them right now. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless this church, bless Pastor Aaron and all that he does for this community. Let Crossroads be that beacon of hope right now. In your name we pray.